This program is part of the Infinite Potato Alliance. Visit us at infinitepotato.com.
Isn't it about time for somebody's favorite radio program?
Attention, whoever you are, this channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Hold on to your butt.
And here we go.
From the historic Infinite Potato Studios, this is Cosmic Potato, the Super Fan Talk Podcast.
Smoke and mirrors, guys. Welcome to the movie factory.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Join us as we dive deep into all fandoms and genres of cinema and television.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
No gatekeeping.
You shall not pass!
No toxic fandom.
A monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Now, only inches from a tall glass of Diet Mountain Dew.
Just give me something without any sugar in it, okay?
Here is your host, Sean Ray.
Sean. Shawnee, if you're feeling a little loose. Never the Sean dog, because that's just lame. And I've never been one to chase balls.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
All right, it was a miracle. Can we go now?
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
All right, so this is a episode where we're just going to kind of talk about some things going on in the news and some things that we've been watching. Let me introduce everybody that's here tonight. Scott, how are you, sir?
I don't know.
Virginia's here as well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And Rick, how are you, sir?
We are all kosh.
A couple of news stories that I came across that I wanted to mention. The first one is that there is evidently going to be a Squid Game season 2. Now, you guys never watched Squid Game, right? None of you? Scott, you watched it. Okay.
Shane and I started actually watching it yesterday, and I got through 1.5 episodes, and I was like, I don't think this is for me at all.
Speaking to the Associated Press, the guy that created the first season, he said, so there's been so much pressure and so much demand and so much love for a second season, I almost feel like you leave us no choice. But I'll say that there will indeed be a second season. It's in my head right now. I'm in the planning process currently, but I do think it's too early to say how and when that's going to happen. So there's no telling when we're actually going to see a season 2, but as popular as it was, I think it would be incentive for them to do it sooner rather than later. Strike while the iron is hot, so to speak. The other thing, so Bruce Campbell says,
that's a good start.
Yeah. Bruce Campbell says, yeah, there's not going to be any more Evil Dead, not with me in any way. And I read the story, and the story is basically, I'm getting too old for this shit. I mean, that's basically what he said. He said, he's in his 60s, you know. So he said that when he was doing that series on Stars, the Ash versus the Evil Dead, he said it was a great show. It was a show that I'm glad that we did. But I was in so much pain every day. You know, I was calling the director saying, look, I know I'm supposed to run today. My knees are shot. I can't run. You're going to have to keep the stunt guy close by or whatever, you know. So he basically said, if there is an Evil Dead in the future, it's going to be either someone else playing Ash or it's going to be a reboot or something like that. It's because I'm not going to be in it. And I can't blame him. You know, I can't blame him for that.
Was it Sam Raimi who directed all of the Evil Dead movies?
Yeah.
And has repeatedly said that he went out of his way to torture Campbell whenever he could.
Well, I think that Raimi likes to do that in general. I mean, he was doing the same thing to Tobey Maguire in the Spider-Man movies. It was, I think it's in the first Spider-Man, but Tobey Maguire has to crouch down to the ground. It's an outdoor scene. I think it's like picking up his books or something like that. And while he's down there, the camera just holds on Peter Parker while he's getting like knocked about by some book bags, just people walking by that just aren't paying attention. So he's getting socked by book bags.
Yeah.
And Sam Raimi is one of the people holding a book bag. So, you know, just watch the shot. And if you see a book bag, just clock Tobey Maguire right in the side of the head. Solid. Yeah, that's Sam Raimi making sure that he gets a good whack in with a book bag. And if you watch the outtakes, the book bag comes by and the strap of the book bag catches Toby and just like,
yeah,
pulls onto his head. That's Sam Raimi.
Wow.
So he likes doing that sort of thing on set. But with Bruce Campbell, I can't fault the guy. I mean, he's been working forever. And I think it was he was on a somewhat recent episode of Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Never heard of that. What's it on?
It's podcast.
Podcast, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. You listen to 400 podcasts a day.
Yeah, pretty much. So he was on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast and talking about how he's, you know, really just, he's not doing all that much acting anymore. I can't remember what state he's in, but he essentially, lives up a goddamn mountain, just a fairly remote living. And he's doing a lot of writing and not as much acting. And it sounds like he's really, really happy.
You know what? If I had half of Campbell's money, I would not be doing shit either.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be an A-list actor to make a pretty good living, making movies. And you make a few movies and you got enough money to where you feel like you could live comfortably. More power to you.
Yeah. Well, Campbell's got more than one book out now, doesn't he?
He's got at least three. And there's Chin. He's got
Chins Could Kill was his first one.
Yeah, If Chins Could Kill, and then
which I read and is a fantastic book.
And then Hail to the Chin is the follow up, which I have on the bookshelf.
I really need to catch up on
those. Hail to the Chin.
So that's at least two, and I know he's got I think he's got at least one more beyond those.
Let me see.
And I think he's also writing some screenplays as well.
He's just a nice guy. Jesus, yeah. for given the genre of the business he's in and all of the crap he's had to take, he's just a really cool dude.
He wrote a book called If Chins Could Kill, Hail to the Chin. His third book was Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor.
Yeah.
His next book is going to be called Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way. So. all right. The next story that I had kind of goes along with what we've been watching. Has everyone on this panel seen Ghostbusters Afterlife?
Yes.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Talk about it. I will talk about it without spoiling. Just suffice to say, it's really good.
You can imagine what John would have to say to what you just
yeah. said. I had lunch, but John was in town for Thanksgiving, and I had lunch with him yesterday. And thankfully, he had seen the movie the night before, so we were actually able to talk about it. But yeah, it's a great follow-up to the first. It's a sequel to the first film. And I'm not even going to talk about it really, because it's too easy to give stuff away. I will say that it is kind of slow in the first half. The first half of the movie is pretty slow.
I think you're being generous. I think there are pacing problems all through the film. That was my only problem with it.
Yeah. It picks up. It goes up.
Zoom, 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 drag, zoom, zoom, drag. I've said this, and I don't want to sidetrack what you're about to talk about, and I'm certainly not going to spoil the film. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I've noticed with some of these films that like should have been released a year ago and have sat in COVID limbo. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to say it could have done with one more pass through the editing room, but maybe this one went through the editing room a little too many times because nobody had anything else to do.
Yeah.
it's there's something off about it at some points.
Yeah.
It's still a great movie and I loved it. But there are just some moments that just drag in weird ways. And I can't really go into any more specifics without spoiling, but it's just the pacing gets so bizarre sometimes.
I will say if you've never seen Ghostbusters, then I mean,
it's
going to be enjoyable, but there's not going to be really anything. And this is a nostalgia fest, really. So
this is a complete pander.
Yeah.
As I've always said, I'm perfectly fine with being pandered to.
But the story that I brought up was that, is it Jason Reitman that directed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Reitman directed this film and
Ivan's son.
Yeah. Ivan's son.
Yeah.
And Ivan was like an executive producer on the film because I saw an interview with Jason Reitman where he was talking about it's really hard to direct a Ghostbusters film with my dad on set, you know. But he said in a interview on a podcast, I think it's the Happy Sad Confused podcast was the name of it. He kind of confirmed that there will be a tie to, if they do a sequel to Afterlife, which they probably will.
There's no doubt they will.
There will be a tie to Ghostbusters 2 because he says that he can see a sequel having an appearance from Viggo the Carpathian because he can say that's not, I mean, is that the only painting of Viggo the Carpathian? No, there's probably more paintings of him. You know, he could live in another painting. Maybe there's a painting with him on a horse.
I'd have to watch that movie again. I only saw it once and I was tripping balls at the time.
Yeah, I know. I've heard you say before how terrible the movie is, and then you say I've only seen it once and I was tripping at the time. It's like, then you don't know that it's bad.
I didn't say it was bad, but
I've heard you say before that it was bad because of Egon's hair and all that kind of stuff. You know?
I didn't say it was bad. I just said I didn't care for the fact that they totally went the cartoon with the second movie.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming I'm the only one on this panel that's ever dropped acid. Maybe not. All right, cool. Everything is fun when you're tripping. And that movie was not complete. You know, I didn't dislike it, but it was like, oh, please. So anyway, carry on.
Well, I will say that might
be on my bucket list. I don't know.
I was 13 and saw it in the theater when it came out. 1989 was a big year for me because it was Ghostbusters 2. Batman came out that year. Or something else. I think one of the Ernest movies came out that year or something.
You know,
I was in the theater a lot.
You were about to say, well, I was 13 and I did my first hit of acid.
No, no, never done that.
If I had seen Ghostbusters 2 when I was 13, I probably would have liked it a lot more. I'll grant you that.
Yeah. But see, I grew up watching the cartoon. So I was watching the cartoon from when it started. So yeah. I saw the cartoon before I saw the first movie. That's just a money thing. Yeah, they had this popular cartoon. Of course, they're going to bring in aspects of it to the movie. Plus, I mean, they knew kids were going to be watching it because of the cartoon. And then they had the Nintendo joystick there, too. You know, like, I've got one of those. I've got one of those at home. And steering the Statue of Liberty around with a Nintendo joystick. But.
And you know what? I only saw it that one time. I haven't watched it since. Maybe I should. Maybe I'll like it a lot more. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, it's really got a lot of. If you watch them back to back, which they tend to show them back to back on cable, you'll notice that it's got the same marks. You know, it's like they're hitting the same marks. Like the first movie did this. Well, with the second movie, we're going to do all the same things. We're just going to change little bits and pieces here and there. So,
which is one of the reasons why usually, in my opinion, comedy sequels don't work, because like Wayne's World 2 is garbage and Wayne's World is a classic, because Wayne's World 2, they went, do all of those jokes again.
Austin Powers did it three times.
And, yeah, and I didn't even bother with Austin, with Goldmember.
Oddly enough, I think Goldmember is my favorite.
Yeah, Goldmember is pretty funny.
Like,
yeah,
all the jokes, you know, it's all the same style of joke, even if like the punchlines might be slightly different. It's just more servings of the same flavors, but for some reason, the deliveries in Goldmember are just right, that they hit that funny note just a little bit sharper than the previous two. I find it more quotable than the first two. I also think that Michael Caine adds
Caine's in it. That's pretty good.
A nice hint of class.
Yeah, Mike Myers is playing four characters because he plays Austin Powers and Dr. Evil anyway, but then he plays Goldmember and he still plays Fat Bastard in that one too, right?
Fat Bastard was one of the reasons why I despised the second movie, because it was just so goddamn disgusting.
Yeah, it was disgusting, but
and you know what? I love Heather Graham, and even she couldn't save Austin Powers 2 for me.
How about no, you crazy gold bastard? All right. What's that, Scott?
Not gold, it was Dutch.
Yeah, well.
Crazy Dutch bastard.
Trying not to make it racist.
But that being said, Ghostbusters Afterlife, and I'm not going to get into any details, but great movie. Pacing problems, yeah. If you are a fan of the original, bring some tissues. It was funny. I even said this on Facebook, and he answered me about it, because I was watching it, and there were moments where I was just choking up. You know, yeah, big shock, Rick cried. You know, I was choking up at this choke, and there were times when I was like, "This scene is making me verklempt. This must have absolutely killed Brock Parker." And he was like, "Yeah, I was a wreck after the first time I saw the movie."
He has seen it six times.
I'm not surprised.
He saw it four times the weekend that it opened, and then he went and saw it again with his kids this weekend, and then the Alabama Ghostbusters had a private screening yesterday, I think. So,
and you know what? This movie is a landmark for us, because I was like trying to figure out when my wife and I could go see it. And I was trying to figure out when our eldest wasn't working so that she could watch Sharon so we could go to this movie. And then I remembered, wait a minute, Sharon has seen Ghostbusters. She's seen all the cartoons. I don't think she's seen Ghostbusters 2. So I was like, wait a minute. And I called home and I was like, ask Sharon if she wants to see Ghostbusters Afterlife. And her comment was, I've been waiting so long to see this movie. She's 10.
We took Jacob, because we went to see it at the drive-in, and we could not get any. My daughter was busy, so she couldn't watch him. So we made a decision to take him with us. And I was kind of worried about it a little bit, because when I was a kid, the library ghost scared the crap out of me. At the beginning of the movie. So I was afraid that they might show something that might scare him. But he fell asleep in the first 30 minutes. So, so it was fine.
Well, but the point is that this was the first movie that Sharon and Emily and I all went to see together.
Mm-hmm.
Because there've been tons of movies. Emily would take Sharon to see this. I would take Sharon to see that. But the three of us haven't. This is the first time we'd all gone to the movies together.
Mm, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
and you good. Were right. It is cheaper to rent a movie for $30. You're going to take the whole damn family.
Yeah. Like I said, we went to see it at the drive-in. So I was, we went to McDonald's before we got there. And yeah.
Oh, we got $35 worth of food. It was terrible.
All right. So stuff we've been watching. Rick, what's something you've been watching lately?
I'm so bummed that John isn't here, because he is totally warranted in gloating over this. I am 6.5 episodes into Cowboy Bebop and loving this show.
I haven't watched any of it yet. So,
the only downside to it is at the end of every episode, no matter how full I still am from dinner, I want noodles. And I've never had any of the Japanese noodles that they're always eating in the show, but they look so good.
What kind of noodles are they?
Like I have ramen? No idea. I don't know, but they look great. And but I was telling my wife is a fan of anime, and you know, she's never like pestered me to watch stuff. She respects the fact that I don't particularly care for anime. But I told her tonight, I don't think she will like this because there's very little anime about this live action rendition of Cowboy Bebop. It's more hard sci-fi with a 70s blaxploitation film aesthetic. We were talking about how I always kind of suspected that John Cho was terribly wasted in the Star Trek films. They just didn't let him do much of anything at all. He's incredible.
Oh, John Cho's great. Yeah.
And that's exactly what she said. Yeah. Like, well, this is the only thing I've ever seen him in other than Star Trek.
Never seen any Harold and Kumar movies.
I saw the first one. Oh, that's right. He's yeah. Kumar, yeah. Isn't he? No, he's Harold.
He's Harold.
Okay. Well, that was how long ago? I'm really enjoying the show. I'm 5.5 episodes in. I started to watch the 6th episode this morning and then realized I was late, and I only got like halfway through it. But it's tons of fun, and I'm really enjoying the kind of retro aesthetic to it. Have any of y'all watched any of it?
No.
Okay. It's on Netflix. And I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I've never watched any of the anime. John was talking about it yesterday, and recommending to watch it. I will eventually, but
I did watch a bunch of the anime, and I honestly don't remember any of the storylines. I just remember it got really repetitive, and I got bored with it. But that is not the case with this show.
Okay. Virginia, what about you? What are you watching?
Well, I'm not watching a whole lot of new stuff. I have been watching Babylon 5. I just finished season 2 yesterday, the day before. It's flipping bonkers. I really am enjoying it. So don't spoil anything for me. I just started season 3 earlier today.
Oh, okay.
Also watching, my best friend and I have been virtually watching this anime called Dura. It's supposed to be how the motorcycle sounds, but I don't know how to pronounce. But it's like this bizarre sort of like Celtic headless horsewoman is searching the globe for her head and ends up in Japan riding a motorcycle instead of a horse. It's really strange, but it's very interesting. So that's all. Okay. Not very interesting.
Scott, what about you? What are you watching?
I've been watching quite a bit, actually. Now, reaching back a couple weeks, I can't remember if I discussed it on this show, but did I talk to you guys about Dave Makes a Maze?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't watched it yet, but you made a very strong point that it should be watched.
Excellent. So I'll skip over that one. In preparation for listening to an episode of the podcast We Hate Movies, I did watch for the first time in 25 years, give or take, I watched the one and only starring vehicle for Carrot Top, Chairman of the Board.
Yeah. What?
Or as the late great Norm MacDonald said that it might as well be called during an interview on Conan O'Brien, box office poison.
I've never seen it, but I remember when it came out, and I remember seeing it in the video store 1,000 times.
It's not good. It's not good. But I watched it just so I could listen to the podcast about it, and they were very funny and tearing that movie apart. But
Carrot Top went to the same college I did, but he didn't finish.
Some of the newer stuff that I have grabbed recently, I watched one of the frighteningly common these days, direct-to-streaming Bruce Willis movies. He did a film with Neil McDonough and a bunch of no names that you've never heard of called Apex. It's a riff on The Most Dangerous Game or Hard Target, where it's a bunch of elites are hunting one lone tough guy. And Bruce Willis is that tough guy. He is the prey in this hunt as he's trying to survive in the woods while people with a bunch of guns and a great advantage are trying to take him out. I'm not going to bother worrying about spoilers because it doesn't matter. Because this movie is
a lot of bald stuntmen running through the woods being filmed from behind.
No, not even that. Not even that. Because they lay it out pretty clearly. This character, he ain't going to run. He ain't going to run nowhere. He's just casually loping through the forest. He technically gets into one fight that lasts maybe about three moves. You see Bruce Willis fire a pistol one time. He dodges, swings, catches a knife one time. And then any other killing that is done, you're lucky if you see his character from the waist up. You just see him walking back and forth to a bag of guns, and then you see explosions, and then you see legs come by, and then explosions. It would be difficult for me to imagine a film project where Bruce Willis did less. He's barely there. He's leaning or sitting most of the time. And I have my doubts that he was even in the area of where they were filming at the same time as anyone else.
Yeah, he's been doing that a lot lately.
Even the climax of the movie, where it's him facing off against Neil McDonough, it's clear they are nowhere near each other. The characters are in the same room, but we'll just put it this way. Bruce Willis is the only one that's obviously standing in front of a green screen. And they're never in the same shot together. It's shockingly bad. It's poorly made. It's poorly conceived. And especially poorly written. The reason that his character is able to survive is because I think of these five or six people that are hunting him, they end up killing each other. Bruce Willis's character doesn't even need to be there. All the bad guys just take each other out. And the reason they do that is because before the hunt even begins, he's on a video conference call with all the hunters and the person running the game. And he just happens to ask, can hunters kill other hunters? Well, there are no rules against it. And just him asking that question, all of a sudden the hunters are like, you know what? I'm gonna kill everybody. It's like it never occurred to them before, but he said one thing and they're all like, ah, that's an idea. It's a bad movie. Balancing it out, though. Now, I'll move on to this other one. I can come up with other stuff if we want to do another round, but I do want to jump into this one because I want to make sure I mention it, because this is actually a really good movie and I recommend that everyone try to watch it. It's an Apple Plus original movie. I think they're calling it Apple Plus. But it's a movie by Apple, which I mean, I wouldn't expect a whole lot from something with that at the beginning. The title of the movie is Finch. Has anyone heard of Finch?
Isn't that the Tom Hanks robot movie?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but
I want to see it.
I've been wanting to catch it. Yeah.
That is a solid movie. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
I recommend everyone here give it a watch. I don't want to say too much about it because it's a fairly simple movie. It's not like you're going to need to, you know, set aside a whole lot of brain power to follow it, but it's really well done. It looks great. Tom Hanks, I have yet to see him in something that I don't like, and he's really turning in a strong, solid performance in this. Mm-hmm. It's very well done. And even though it's Tom Hanks and a robot,
yeah,
you're still going to be shocked with how emotional you feel by the end of it. It really is quite good.
Yeah. I've been wanting to, I've been too busy with shows at work, excuse me, to keep an eye on the timeline. But once the last episode of Foundation drops, which it probably has by now, I'm going to do the free week of Apple TV Plus or whatever and binge through Foundation. And I didn't realize that Finch was on that, but I'll try to get through that too.
Yeah. I've been watching a pretty good amount of things especially over the Thanksgiving weekend, but I finished Masters of the Universe Revelation this weekend.
I was in the room while Emily was watching that, and I was stunned at the, I mean, granted, Kevin Smith is behind it, so I'm not surprised, but this one is not for kids.
Yeah, this especially this second half, it got pretty violent. It got pretty violent. And this is definitely made for adults who used to watch He-Man.
Yeah. Well, when the evil Lynn seduces Skeletor.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I had forgotten how quickly this sequel miniseries was coming out. Until I started seeing posts like over this past week of people talking about it, having seen it. So I'm going to have to grab that and give it a watch. And since I have the next 2 days off, I could probably get that knocked out before I have to go back to work.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's 5 episodes and they're 30 minutes each, but they,
She went through it in one afternoon, and my wife does not particularly binge things.
Yeah.
It's like watching a long movie. I mean, you can watch a Marvel movie in about as much time as it takes to get through this new He-Man series.
Yeah, 2.5 hours for each part. But I think both parts were made. I don't know why they split it up the way they did, but, you know.
Money.
Yeah, I mean, it worked. It was, but I thought it was pretty good. I've seen a lot of people online complaining about the same things that they complained about when the first part came out, that there's not enough He-Man in it, that it's too woke, all that kind of stuff. But, you know. Yeah, for one thing, He-Man's name is not in the title. It's not called He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. There's no reason for you to think that, especially if you saw part one. If you saw part one and you saw that He-Man was only in one episode, the Prince Adam was in a couple of episodes, but He-Man himself was only in one episode, then it's, you know, probably going to be out the same way. You watch part two, probably not going to be a whole lot of He-Man, you know, but he does show up, you know.
I think they made it pretty clear this is a Teela series.
Yeah, Hulk yeah, Man. She was, which Adam was a pretty big part of the second half. So there's a lot of Adam, there's a lot of Skeletor, and all that. But
it was clear Mark Hamill was having a blast playing Skeletor.
I like how Skeletor's like his eyes like move around and stuff, and he's supposed to be a skeleton in his eyes.
Well, I liked how he didn't have a neck; he just had fire. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. I watched a movie on Disney Plus called Home Sweet Home Alone because I had to. Yeah, I had to watch it. It was Thanksgiving night.
Are you sure you don't smoke weed, dude?
I like watching things. We were finishing up with Thanksgiving. We had already eaten. My daughter-in-law was still over here, and the baby hadn't gone to sleep yet. So I was trying to watch something until the house was cleared out for me to watch Discovery. So I put Home Sweet Home Alone on and I watched like the first half of it. And then I finished it up the next day. It is, I'm not going to recommend it. It's not a good movie. I mean, if you like the first Home Alone movie, just go watch that. This one is odd because so the couple that is supposed to be like the wet bandits of this movie, they're not bad people. They were the dude had lost his job, you know, and they weren't really robbing this house. What happened was there was a doll that they had. It was their doll. And they find out that it's worth like a ton of money. And they go to get it and it's missing. And through a series of events, they believe that it was stolen by this kid. And so they're going to his house to steal their doll back. You know, they're not trying to rob his house. And the kid is an ass. You know, he's not a good kid. He's a jerk. But they so
well, that's the same with Macaulay Culkin's character from the original Home Alone. The entire family was garbage.
Yeah, but yeah, pretty much
the worst.
But I told my wife, even as I was watching this, I was like, you know, the whole Home Alone setup doesn't work in 2021. There's constant communication all the time. There's too many ways that they could get in contact with this kid. I mean, they could send a message to the TV while he's watching it if they wanted to and have something just pop up. But they went out of their way to say, well, we don't have a landline. Who has landlines these days? It's like, yeah, but, you know.
We do.
The whole thing is that the kid was – they had all their family over because they were supposed to be going on a trip to Singapore the next day or something like that. And
are these guys all like drug dealers or you know, what the hell?
This is a completely different family. This is not the McAllisters or whatever.
But the McAllisters, like they have this like 400 room mansion and they're taking 40 people to wherever the hell they went.
Yeah. I never figured out what that guy did for a living because that house was huge.
If you need someone to make good money in a movie, you just say they're an architect because you never have to actually show them working.
Yeah.
That's why the guys in Three Men and a Baby had such a killer loft. It's because one of them was an architect.
It's like Beetlejuice. The dad was not Alec Baldwin. The
Jeffrey Jones.
He was an architect.
Yeah. Or they just say they're in sales or they're in some kind of development or you know something like that, right. So anyway, the kid goes into the garage to get away from everybody and he gets in the back seat of the car and he's watching something on his iPad and he falls asleep and he wakes up and everybody's gone, you know, so hijinks ensue
because bad parenting is funny.
if you want to watch a good Home Alone movie, just go back and watch the first one. I can watch that movie over and over and over. The second one too, the second one's not bad. But the second
change, you filthy animal.
But the second one it just makes the family look even worse because they let it happen again. But there is one funny thing about this new one is that they call the police. So the kid calls the police when this man and this woman are trying to break in the first time. The cop that shows up is Buzz McAllister. Like his name tag says McAllister. It's Kevin's older brother. And you know, and he ends up, you know, leaving because he can't find anything wrong or whatever. And they call the police again later and they call him on the radio and ask him to go by. And he's sitting there eating a burrito and he gets on. There's nothing going on at that house. He said, what do you need to go by? You know, we just got a call. It's like, look, when I was a kid, my brother got left behind while we went on vacation twice. So he's the one calling it in. He's just messing with me. But I always thought that they should make a sequel to Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin now and make it like a serious movie that's like takes place on Purge night and have Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern breaking into the house to try and get him on Purge night. And then he, you know, takes him out or whatever. But
I want to ask y'all a question.
Okay.
speaking as the old guy in the group. Do any of y'all watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
I watched it this year.
I have until the last couple years.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I'm just curious. The reason I'm asking is I used to watch it as a kid because it was the only goddamn thing on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On Thanksgiving morning. You know, parents are still asleep because they've got the day off. And it starts at like 8 o'clock in the morning and there's no cartoons or anything else. So I would watch it. I tried a few years back to find it because, you know, we don't have cable anymore to show Sharon. And apparently there was another parade. There's a competing parade, at least it was that year, from somewhere else. And it was like, you know, an incredibly cheap ripoff of it.
What it is CBS. So the parade is in New York, and it's NBC has the license to show the parade up close, and they're the ones that show all of the Broadway numbers and all that kind of stuff, and they have their camera set up right there in front of Macy's where everything passes through. CBS shows the same parade, but they can't get up close to it, you know, so they're showing it from the air and from the tops of buildings and stuff, but you're seeing the same parade. It's just if you watch it on NBC, you're able to see all the Broadway dancing and all that kind of stuff. So,
but like, I could not get her interested in it at all. And I was just curious if people still enjoy it for itself, as opposed to there's absolutely nothing else on and I'm awake and everybody's still asleep and it's not time for breakfast yet.
Yeah. No, I put it on every year. I've always tried to get my kids into it. They weren't really interested in it, but I put it on this year so to try and get Jacob to watch it. And he watched some of it, but he's three. I mean, his attention span is pretty short. So
when Adira was younger, she would watch it because they had a lot of Disney people on there, like Hannah Montana and that kind of jam, that she was like the perfect age for those performers. So like, I met her when she was about six or so. So from that time until, you know, I made her watch it when she was a teenager because tradition. But she was really into it when she was younger, but not so much when she got older.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it if Miley Cyrus was in it now. that sounded way grosser than I meant it to be. I admire the hell out of Miley Cyrus. You know, when she first kind of came out as Miley, as opposed to the Hannah Montana thing, it just seemed like, oh, you know, here we go again. But she's really awesome. You know, her activism is great. Her ownership of her brand and her body, and her like, you guys want to see me naked? Fine. Here I am naked. What are you going to do now? you know, it just, she is totally in charge of who she is. And I love, you know, and she actually is an amazing performer. She's got some songs that I really enjoy.
Yeah. But she's not really friendly with, she's not really Thanksgiving parade friendly.
No, but
there is a video, I think it's Cracked that did it a while back, where
Cracked hasn't done anything good in years, but okay.
when they laid off all their good editors, yeah.
Exactly.
It was either Cracked or College Humor. They show clips of Miley Cyrus's video, Wrecking Ball, the Wrecking Ball video.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep cutting back and forth to the construction workers that are standing on site, and they're like, that's not safe. I mean, she's not wearing any safety gear. She doesn't have safety glasses on her. Oh, ma'am, you've got to put your clothes back on. You can't be anywhere near that wrecking ball.
No, crack.com used to be awesome. And then they got bought. I don't remember what corporation bought them, but they got bought out and they fired all of the people that made the channel any good. And then just started doing, you know, top 10 lists and shit. And I haven't been back since.
Well, they've been using the listicle model for quite a while, but they would have, and they would allow for you know, like, you know, non-professionals to submit articles, and they'll pay them. Anyone who wants to enroll in that writing program, you can submit a pitch, and, you know, if they like it, then you can submit a sample, and then you can try writing the whole article. If you get an article all the way up to publication, they'll put it up there with your name on it, and you get paid. But at the same time, they also have their editors that would write a lot of articles on their own, either, you know, long form comedy or list form articles. And then on top of all that, with the writing, their video production side was growing over the course of many years. You know, short videos. Sometimes they would do series.
I love their diner videos were great.
Oh yeah, After Hours was always the big favorite. Their writer editor Dan O'Brien had a series called Obsessive Pop Culture Disorder.
Yep,
which was hilarious. And they were doing a lot of good stuff. They had a comedy news show on there called More News. Mm-hmm. Either that or Some News. I can't remember. I think it was Some News. But then, yeah, I think it was like after a second buyout of the brand, they decided to lay off like everyone that was making money or costing the company money.
Yeah.
And they decided just, you know, let's just have like, you know, user generated content and pay as little as possible. And they shuttered the entire video division. And after hearing about that, I didn't go back to the site, not even once after hearing about that. I didn't want them to get a single click. So I just looked up the people from Crack that I enjoyed. And I said, what are they doing now? Okay. So the show, Some News, well, they couldn't do that show because Crack owned it. So the host, who was also the main writer, the like co-writer of that, they split off and they started a podcast called Some More News.
Yeah.
that was a YouTube channel, and the videos were Some More News. And now they have a companion podcast for it called Even More News.
Hmm.
So they took the concept and they just made it different enough in name that they could legally get away with doing it and separate it from Cracked, and boom, they're doing that.
Yeah.
Dan O'Brien now writes for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And their editor Soren Bowie is now a writer on American Dad. And Soren and Dan have their own podcast called Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. It's a really good show.
So 401 podcasts a day.
So I watched Red Notice, which was good. I mean, it was entertaining enough. It was it's The Rock and Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot, and it's like an art thief comedy.
I haven't been able to decide movie. If I want to watch it or not.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, Ryan Reynolds is doing Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. The Rock is The Rock.
I love all three of them, so yeah. There's really no downside to it. I just keep forgetting it's there.
And True Story, which is not a true story, but it's still a good show. It's on Netflix. It's got Kevin Hart and Wesley Snipes in it. And it was pretty good. I think it was like 6 episodes. We watched the whole thing over the weekend. But Kevin Hart, it's like a serious turn for Kevin Hart, you know, because most of his stuff has always been comedy. But he plays a comedian that is basically Kevin Hart, but they call him the Kid. And Wesley Snipes is his older brother, and they get tied up in this whole got to cover up a murder, very bad, you know, very bad things kind of deal going on. Anybody ever seen the movie Very Bad Things? I referenced that movie and nobody's seen it. So.
I saw it on the shelf when I was working at the video store.
Yeah.
Have any of y'all seen Jungle Cruise yet?
Yeah, I liked it.
We want to watch it. We just haven't had a chance yet. Sharon wanted to watch it this morning, but we decided we want to watch it as a family, and so I was like, no, we gotta wait for mommy.
Yeah. It was pretty good. We enjoyed it. It's reminiscent of Pirates of the Caribbean, like the first one. It's kind of got a lot of those, that same earmarks there. But
yeah, I've been trying to remember, because she's like, what's it about? And I was like, well, it's based on the Disney ride, and I know I've been on the ride. but I can't for the life of me remember if there's any story to it whatsoever. If you're just, it's just animatronic hippos and crocodiles. And
you've got a person driving your boat that is telling you a bunch of really corny jokes about all the semi-racist animatronics that you're looking at as you drive by. That's kind of the setup where the movie kind of starts, and then it goes into a plot from there that really has nothing to do with that ride, other than it takes place in the jungle.
I got to say, I really enjoy everything I've ever seen Dwayne Johnson do.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's
so good. And like, we just watched Moana for like the 400th time this weekend, and I never get bored with him.
Yeah. Well, he elevates stuff that he's in that's not good anyway. I mean, like, what was that movie that he was in? The disaster movie that came out a few years ago.
I know the one. We didn't see it, but
it was San Andreas. I think it was San Andreas. It was.
I think so.
It was an earthquake movie or whatever. That movie was terrible, but you know, he made it better. Same thing goes for the skyscraper movie that he made. If it had been anybody else in that movie, it would have been awful. But I mean, for one thing, almost the entire movie was in front of a green screen.
Well, it was funny. Sharon, you know, I think I may have mentioned this before. Ever since she was born, basically, every morning we start with Snuggle and Watch TV, even if it's just for a couple of minutes. And, you know, on school days, I make her watch. I don't make her watch, but if we're going to do that, she's got to watch an educational show. But on weekends, it's whatever. You know, we snuggle and watch TV for, you know, 10 or 20 minutes. And this morning she was going through and she wanted to, you know, she saw Jungle Cruise and watched the trailer, and she doesn't quite recognize people yet. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you see that guy? She's like, yeah. I was like, that's Smolder whatever from Jumanji. And she's like, what?
It's like my wife, I was watching a YouTube video of bloopers from Parks and Rec. And there was a lot of them with Chris Pratt. And the video had been on for like 5 minutes. And my wife says, is it Star-Lord? is he related to the guy that plays Star-Lord? It's like, that's him. I mean, that's him. She's like, oh well, he got in a lot of shape. Yeah, he had to lose about 30 pounds and put on some muscle.
There's a video I forwarded it on Facebook this morning, and I showed it to her, to Sharon and to my wife. It's MCU bloopers set to Uptown Funk, and it's hilarious.
I saw it. Yeah, my wife was showing it to me last night. Yeah. No, I was watching it. There was another video. You know how you put something on YouTube and when it finishes, it just goes into something that's related to it or whatever. And
unless you turn off autoplay, which I do.
Yeah, it was getting too dangerous. I had to turn off autoplay.
I was watching a video that was just one-liners of Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec, because Nick Offerman I think he's my spirit animal. Because he like he says, one of his one-liners is, any dog under 30 pounds is a cat, and cats are useless.
I wish I could argue with that, but my dad
and the other one, my favorite one is he's sitting in a diner and he's looking at the menu, and he asks the guy if he has something. He says no, and he just puts down the menu. He says, never mind, just give me all the bacon and eggs you have. And the guy starts to walk away and said, no, wait a minute.
Stop. I'm afraid you misunderstood me.
Yeah.
I said, I want all the bacon and eggs that you have.
I'm afraid that you just heard me say, I want a lot of bacon and eggs. What I actually said was,
yeah.
I want all the bacon and eggs that you have. he's got a video on YouTube. Put in, go to, you know what? I'm going to pull it up because it's just that funny. Hold on a second. I'm going to pull it up and I'm going to show it to you.
Oh, you know what? We didn't mention Shang-Chi.
Oh, of course there's an ad.
Oh, yeah. That's why I have an ad blocker.
I'm going to mute it.
I killed cracked.
Skip ads. Okay. So it's just a Yule log. And it's just Nick Offerman sitting there in front of a fireplace staring at you for an hour. He doesn't say anything. He just occasionally
picks up his drink every now and then. Yeah.
Occasionally takes a sip of his whiskey.
I've never seen Parks and Rec, but I have run that video before.
Yeah. It's pretty hilarious. I put it on 1 year and just left it on. And he just sits there and stares at you. It's pretty funny. All right. Now let me figure out how to stop sharing my screen. Okay. There we go.
But yeah, Shang-Chi is fun as hell.
Yeah. And it's on Netflix now. I mean, not Netflix. It's on Disney Plus now.
Yeah. We watched it last weekend and I was indifferent to it. I wasn't particularly looking forward to it, but I wasn't dreading it either. Like, you know, sometimes some movies are. So there are some movies where I'm like, all right, I know I'm gonna have to watch this. And Shang-Chi was just kind of like, okay, it exists. I knew nothing about it. It's one of my favorite Marvel movies now.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
It's tons of fun. It's got great pacing. And I love Awkwafina now. I mean, I was kind of like, she's really great after Raya and the Last Dragon, but that was just her voice. But now watching her in a whole movie, she's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I just there was nothing about that movie I didn't like.
The Eternals is going to be on Disney Plus.
Oh, shit, we saw that too.
In January. Yeah.
January? Okay.
Yeah.
That's when I'll be able to catch it. I don't know when I'm going to be going back to the theater. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I might arrange to make a special trip to a theater, like on a weekday, first thing in the morning, like first show of the day, when chances are low that anyone will be there, so I can watch Cyrano in the theater. I might go and do that. And also, I do find myself, you know, perhaps against my better judgment, excited for Spider-Man. So I might try to go see that too, rather than wait. But I find it's not as difficult as I thought to wait. Probably helped along by the fact that a lot of these movies seem to be coming to streaming. When they open exclusively in theaters, they're coming to streaming quicker than they used to, just because of the new landscape.
We talked about Eternals on the show already, right?
A little bit. Because not everybody had seen it yet, so we didn't talk about it a whole lot. But okay. Disney and Marvel have kind of got this thing going on where they released a movie in the theaters, and then it's supposed to hit streaming 45 days later. So a month and a half.
They're not waiting 45.
Yeah. Well, no, it's 45 days from when Eternals came out in theaters until they're releasing it on Disney Plus, because it's going to be like the middle of January when it comes out. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, Eternals is really good, but I think it would have made a much better miniseries.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's why I think I've talked about this before on the show, because, you know, putting the band back together, I now understand why it works better as a montage.
Yeah, I was talking to John about this yesterday, and I was like, yeah, the whole, you could tell it was a comic book. Because in a comic book, you could have like an issue where we go get this one guy and then something happens. Mm. And then we go get this next guy and then something happens. Because that's what was happening through the movie. We go find one character and then we have a whole thing that happens there.
Yeah.
You know,
if it had been a miniseries, each find of a character could have been a night.
Yeah. Yeah.
As it was, the movie, I mean, it was great. There wasn't a bad performance in it. And Angelina Jolie, I still adore her. And she's every bit as wonderful as she ever was. But goddamn, that movie drags at points.
Now, I saw you post that you thought Hawkeye was pretty slow as well.
All right. Here's what happened.
when you posted that, I was like,
I don't.
Because my wife was in the room. I was like, he must be taking speed and then trying to watch this stuff because this,
all right, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Thanksgiving. All right. It's Thanksgiving. I don't have to be anywhere the day before. I don't have to be anywhere the day after. All I have to do is cook the turkey. My wife did all the other cooking. You know, I've been working on that turkey for a week at this point. So I started drinking at about 2 o'clock.
A.M. or P.M.?
P.M. once I got the turkey in the oven, I that's when I cracked the wine. I was being good in that I was drinking small amounts. You know, usually I fill this thing up and I was like, nah, just, you know, that much and, you know, pace myself throughout the day. And we finally, we watched the first episode of Hawkeye. I want to say at like 7 or 8 o'clock that night after the guests had left and everything was cleaned up. And I swear to God, I have no idea what pissed me off. Something in the movie, in the show pissed me off. And I was like, get him out of here. I'm done. And then I went and I posted that post where I said, this show is just terrible. The pacing is awful. It's like watching in molasses. And then I forgot about it. And then the next day I saw the post and I saw your response, the oy vey. And, and I was like, I can't remember what upset me. You guys know that I'm a tough audience there. You know, I'm a tough sell. I know it. It's not something I'm proud of. I wish I could enjoy as many things as y'all do sometimes. I wish I wasn't such a hard ass about entertainment. So I was like, all right, I honestly can't remember what it was that pissed me off. So I went back and I went to like the last point.
John says your default is this sucks.
And so I went to about when they were fighting in the wine cellar, and because that was somewhere in the vicinity of where I checked out, and I watched the rest of it and I was like, there's nothing wrong with this. What the fuck was wrong with me?
Yeah, because I watched both episodes at the same time, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was...
we haven't watched episode two yet because it's something, you know, Emily and I will watch together. You know, I have been saying since the MCU started that Hawkeye is my least favorite character, but I don't dislike him. I just think compared to all the others, he's kind of boring. But this was not, you know, he was barely in it in the first episode. Mm-hmm. You know, it was all about the girl and I liked her.
That's why they put the first two out together. Because they knew that because he's not in it a whole lot, that they were going to get people complaining, well, he's barely in this thing. It's like, but once you get into the second episode, he's in it a lot more.
Yeah. So, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that first episode. You know, it's nothing new. It's kind of the same thing that we've been seeing, but it's the same thing comic books have been doing forever. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I don't read comics. Is they keep recycling the same storylines over and over again. But, you know, I swear to God, and I apologize to anyone who saw my post, and I was tempted to delete it, but I was like, no, I'll own it. I said that, but I swear I have no idea what pissed me off.
And John's wanting to know what you think of a certain scene, but you haven't seen the second episode yet.
I'm
not going to ask you because I think it's a spoiler. But after you watch the second episode, then
did John hear me raving about Cowboy Bebop?
I don't think so. He just started commenting here, just a minute ago. So he says, never mind.
I did get through the first episode of Hawkeye. I didn't have time to watch the second one. I had just watched Discovery, so we could talk about it tonight. And I had time for the first episode of Hawkeye, and then I had to move on to other things because I got my my in-person 3D printer tutorial this afternoon. I had to make sure that I was finished watching TV before that happened. I can't remember. This is another one of those. Did I mention this previously on a previous episode? But No Time to Die.
Mm-hmm. I watched it. I thought it was great.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Rick, have you seen it?
Probably won't. I'm so over Bond.
Over Bond.
I've never been a huge Bond fan, and after Skyfall, what was the one with Judi Dench?
He's been in a lot of them.
The one where they were, where it was like, she was his mom.
That was Skyfall.
Yeah.
More or less. I thought Skyfall was pretty good. Spectre, not so much. No Time to Die, I was impressed. I like how it was made. I enjoyed the action set pieces. I thought the ending was fantastic. And I did like how, even with a few missteps here and there, as far as tying it all together, they went from Casino Royale through No Time to Die with, in a sense, one story carrying through it.
Yeah.
And I thought they carried it off pretty well. I'm doing a rewatch of Battlestar Galactica, the reimagined one from 2004. I'm into the fourth and final season now. I went through the two blissful episodes right at the end of season three without Starbuck. Mm-hmm. Ah, good times.
I say good day, sir.
but now she's back.
I loved Starbuck.
I can't stand Starbuck. And for reasons I cannot fully explain, I don't know what got into me, but now if I'm at my computer, if I'm doing some Photoshop work, what I have been having on the phone for the past several days as just some, you know, kind of half-hearted watching while I'm doing other stuff, I've decided I'm going to try to watch ER from the beginning.
Oh, Lord.
It's like about 6,000 hours. 16
seasons or something like that? Yeah.
15 seasons.
15 seasons. Of back probably 23 or 24 episodes
a season. Back in the good old days of 23 episodes a season.
Yeah.
But I remember that our house used to watch it back when it first started.
Yeah. It was my mom's show when I was a teenager. And then it was still on when me and my wife got married, and we watched it every week then. Yeah.
My mom liked it more than my dad. My dad would tolerate being in the room while everyone else was watching it, but it was a TV show about his job, because he was an EMT,
yeah,
in the ER. So he's watching a show about what he does every day, and I rolling his eyes so hard you could hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom was the same way. She was a nurse. She went through nursing school while that show was on the air. So
my friend Adam, who was the best man at my wedding, we've been friends since high school. I haven't asked him about ER, but he's paramedic and EMT. One is more trained than the other.
Right? Paramedic's a little more training than an EMT.
Paramedic. Yeah. And he's like chief and you know, high muckety muck now, but he loves watching Emergency, reruns of Emergency.
Yeah.
for the same reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like my mom really liked Rescue 911 that William Shatner hosted back in the day.
Oh my
she
God.
Loved that. And then, you know, now that show 911 that's on TV, that's got Angela Bassett and a lot of other people in it.
Peter Krause. You have.
And there's a spinoff with Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe's got a spinoff that takes place in Texas.
911 Lone Star.
Yeah. She passed before that show started, but I told my wife when it started, I was like, she would love this show. I watched last night, I watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And I watched it because it's the first Thanksgiving since my dad passed back in the summer. And that was one of his favorite movies. he loved anything with Steve Martin and anything with John Candy and those guys in it. And I watched it last night, and it holds up still. It's funny. It's another one of those movies that they couldn't really make it now because it doesn't work in 2021. There's too many other ways that you can communicate and get transportation and things like that. Well, just call an Uber, you know, or something like that. But in the late 80s, yeah, it was pretty funny. Where's your other hand? I got it tucked between these two pillows. Those aren't pillows. All right. Anybody got anything else?
Real quick. I honestly, we all know how I get my TV movies. So I don't know where you can find this. I don't know what streaming service this can be found on, but I found it's essentially an anthology film called Warning. It's going to have a bit of a Black Mirror vibe to it. It's in some nebulous quasi future where there's a lot of advanced technology, but your day-to-day life looks much the same.
It's on Apple TV.
Apple TV?
Yeah.
Okay. It's an array of, I'd say probably like half dozen sort of vignettes, little short stories following a person or a small group of people and whatever small narrative that they're trying to tell with that. But they find a few ways to weave and connect those stories together. So there are some light intersections, but no one story really has a strong impact or influence on any other. It's kind of like the stories will pass each other as they're happening. And they kind of, you know, cut between them. It's not tell one story, wrap it up, move on to the next one. But you'll look at this story for a second, then look at this one, then back to this first one, then look at a third one, and then we're up in space, and now we're back down on the planet. Just hopping back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to blow your mind, but if you're like me, you're not going to feel like you wasted your time. They're interesting stories, nice little slices of sci-fi. Now, I've been watching from Amazon, Electric Dreams, the Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams anthology series.
Yeah.
I just watched the final episode of that yesterday. I just hadn't gotten around to it for weeks and weeks, but now I finished that season. Imagine instead of doing a season of one story per episode, they just kind of crammed them all into 90 minutes and told real short stories that way. That's kind of what Warning is. Nice little bit of sci-fi diversion if you have some time and you want to watch something that is not going to be saying, and tune in next time for the sequel. No, it's yeah. It's a nice little self-contained movie. If you want some sci-fi entertainment that doesn't require a whole lot of commitment, give it a go. It's good stuff.
And as I'm wrapping things up, kicking an ant bed, this season of Doctor Who is pretty good. Doctor Who Flux. I keep wanting to call it Doctor Who Reflux. it's Doctor Who Flux. It's been pretty good so far. I've enjoyed it. So
I'm waiting till it's all out to get AMC for like a week and then just binge it all at one time.
I bought the season off of Amazon. It was like, if you buy the whole season, it's like $10.
Really?
Yeah. On Amazon Prime.
I have to do that.
See, I didn't do that at first because I have BBC America on my cable package, and I usually just watch it when it's on demand the next day. But it's like some weeks it's not on demand, but it's on Amazon. And then some weeks it's not on Amazon and it's on demand. So it's hard to find it sometimes.
The second episode, it usually shows up on Monday. You know, it airs on Sunday night and it usually shows up on Monday. The second episode didn't show up until like Wednesday morning. I was like, what the fuck? Cause I'm on Analyzing Doctor Who, which you can find here on the Infinite Potato Alliance, Analyzing Doctor Who. Jen and I have been on the first three episodes, or what are we at? Three? Yeah, three. You know, I, without spoiling, I've been saying all along, Jesus Christ, Chibnall, why haven't you been doing this for the last 3 years?
Yeah.
This season has been balls to the wall and great.
Yeah. Yeah. And think after 10 years, you're finally able to do an episode like this. Last week's episode was a Weeping Angels episode,
which that was good.
Yeah. The Weeping Angels had kind of gotten overplayed as much as the Daleks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They finally made a Weeping Angels episode that was as good as Blink.
Yeah.
You know, they made them scary again, you know, so.
And but, as I've been saying for 3 years now, and this season has proven it with good. I mean, Jodie Whittaker is fantastic as the Doctor, but she's been getting the shittiest writing. This season, especially this last episode, last week's episode, was so the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible, and she is amazing. I love Jodie Whittaker. I have been enthralled, and I'm not sure what the right word is for it, but it's been like you are trying so hard against really crappy writing, with a few exceptions. You know, she's just been wonderful. And this season is really showing what she could do when the writing is up to her level of performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched the first three episodes of Flux, and I've started to nod off somewhere in the final act of every episode.
Philistine!
Stop watching it while you're sleepy.
If I held to that rule, then I would never watch TV again.
Yeah, that's what I say. That's my secret, Cap. I'm always sleepy. All right. We're approaching the end of the show. If you want to hear more, come over to patreon.com/infinitepotato. We've got extra content from our network, including early access to episodes and special monthly episodes, and it's pretty cheap. So if you join at the $5 or $10 level, you'll be a producer of the show. Bullet Bingal, Jeff Hughes, Brandon Ushio, Del Goodall, and Tom Corcoran are all producers of our network in that way. So I want to thank them for everything that they do. They help us out quite a bit. And I want to thank everybody here for joining us today. Virginia, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Rick, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me out doing good by doing well. No, that's not how the tongue. Anyway, folks, we're going into the holidays. Do what you can to help folks who are less fortunate than you. Donate to Toys for Tots. Give to your local food pantry. Give blood if you can. That's like the easiest way to help people without having to spend a dime. All you got to do is give a pint of the blood you're not using. You lose weight that way. You lose however much weight a pint of blood costs, weighs, you know? Tis the season. Do what you can.
John says, make sure you give your own blood.
They do prefer it that way.
Yeah. All right. Scott, where can we find you?
I can be found right here on this very show, as well as on That Star Trek Podcast. Every now and again, as a contestant on Captain Game Show, and still on its way. I'd watch that for a dollar. My upcoming show where I watch movies from the dollar store, and then we talk about it, and I post the discussions. We can all have a good laugh about it. And then you can decide if you want to actually watch that movie for yourself afterward. Some of them, you should say yes.
No, you shouldn't.
Rick, you and I watched Last Days of Mars, and we agreed that was all right. Once you realized that you watched the wrong movie first off.
Yeah. So of the three I watched for you, one was good.
Well, and one of those, I didn't ask you to watch it.
That's true. That was my mistake, but still.
And while you're waiting for that show to actually get a season ready for release, you can check out my website at www.planetrisecreative.com or find me on Twitter at Planet Rise and check out some of my graphic artwork, some of it available for commission. That was a poorly constructed sentence. Fun stuff for your eyes. Look at it.
All right. And if you want to find out where you can find us or give us your thoughts, then just stay tuned and we'll let you know in just a moment. So thank you for listening. Be sure to join us next time on Cosmic Potato, the Super Fan Talk podcast, when you might hear John say,
fun fact, turns out telling your child you can't win them all after they lose a game might make them feel better, but saying it after they win will definitely make them feel worse.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Fredo's gonna leave without giving you a goodbye kiss.
Help the show grow by leaving us a 5-star rating and a review. Or support the show by visiting us at patreon.com/infinitepotato.
That's the worst goodbye I've ever heard. And you stole it from a movie.
Be sure to join us again soon on Cosmic Potato, the Super Fan Talk podcast, brought to you by infinitepotato.com.
Goodbye.
This concludes our broadcast day.